Charis Bible College in Colorado Springs is rich spiritual soil. 2007 graduates Russ, Judith, and David Forgeston have planted a new Bible college in Chennai, India, with 60 first-year students. They've seen 350 pastors transformed through teaching Andrew Womack's Discipleship Evangelism course. In addition, they manage 162 small business loans, helping India's outcasts lift themselves from poverty. For a complete report on this story, go to awmi.net and click on today's news feature. Invest yourself in Charis Bible College today.
Welcome to Gospel Truth with Andrew Womack, a teaching ministry that focuses on God's unconditional love and grace. And now, here's Andrew.
Welcome to our Wednesday's broadcast of the Gospel Truth. Today I'm continuing a series that I've entitled Redemption. And the second teaching in that set is what I'm teaching on this week, and that's talking about eternal, not momentary redemption. I tell you, this is powerful. If you've missed any of these programs, I would like to encourage you to please get the materials. Even if you've been watching these programs and listening, I know that some people think, well, I'm hearing everything you're saying about this. But I cannot cover the subject as well, broken up into these little 30-minute segments, as I can to just teach on this. As a matter of fact, during this last week, I was coming in, getting ready to make these television programs, and I actually listened to the teaching that we're offering you. It was a Gospel Truth seminar that I taught in California, and I was listening as I was driving into the office in my car, and I tell you, I got so blessed. I know some people think, well, what are you saying, that you're blessed by your own teaching? Yeah, it's the Word, amen. You know, it doesn't matter if I'm the one saying it or somebody else. This is the truth, and I tell you, it just blesses me. When I first started on radio back in about 1976, you know, I used to have to make radio in our basement after my wife and kids went to bed, and I'd go down there and it'd get it as quiet as I possibly could. And I'd sometimes start at 11 or 12 o'clock at night, and I'd make 3 or 4 hours worth of radio. And sometimes when I was down there, I would be so tired that I wondered how I was going to get through it. But after ministering the Word and speaking these truths, I would get so wired that I'd get through at 4 o'clock in the morning, and I couldn't go to sleep until 6 or 7. And it took me a while to figure out what was happening. But, you know, it doesn't matter if it's me saying it or you saying it or someone else. The truth just resonates in my heart. And I tell you, I got excited listening to this teaching myself. So, you know what? I know these things. And yet it benefits you to be able to hear them over and over and over again. So even if you've been watching these programs, you ought to get this teaching, so that you could go over and over and over it again. You know, the reason that it's so hard to get hold of some of these truths is because we've heard the wrong teaching so many times. It's just ingrained in us. It's a process to get the Word established in your heart. And praise God for CDs, DVDs that we have today that allow us to be able to go over and over and over the Word of God. So even if you've heard all of these programs, you need to get these materials. And also, what a great way to share these truths with someone else. So out of Hebrews chapter 9, the last couple of days, I've been talking about that we have eternal redemption. The word redemption, according to Ephesians 1:7, is the forgiveness of sins. We have eternal forgiveness of sins, not just momentary forgiveness of sins, not just redeemed until the next time we sin, and then we got to get that sin confessed and under the blood. It's a radical concept, and I've been talking about that for a number of days now. Here in Hebrews chapter 10, we've already covered Hebrews chapter 9. This leads up to chapter 10 in verse 1. It says, "For the law, having a shadow of good things to come, and not the very image of the things, can never, with those sacrifices which they offered year by year, continually make the comers thereunto perfect. For then would they not have ceased to be offered? Because that the worshipers, once purged, should have had no more conscience of sin." That is a concept that is just so radical. It's so far off from mainstream Christianity today that I guarantee you most people just think that this is like heresy. But I'm reading Scripture to you. Listen to this. Let's go back in verse 1. For the law, having a shadow of good things to come and not the very image of those things. The law was not reality. The law was a shadow. It was a representation, a type, a shadow, a picture of something that was going to happen. But it wasn't the real deal. You know, if you could imagine right now that in between you and me, there was a building right here, and you were around the corner of the building, and we couldn't see each other because of this building. But if there was a light behind me that you could see my shadow, that shadow could be very important to you. That shadow could tell you whether I was standing still or whether I was moving away or whether I was moving towards the corner and about to come around the corner. The shadow could tell you whether I was carrying a gun or something else. The shadow could tell you if I was jumping up and down or whatever. You know, if you can't see me, but if you could see my shadow could tell you a lot about me. And so in the Old Testament, before Jesus was revealed, before Jesus came to this earth, well, then the types and shadows, which this is exactly what this scripture says, that the law was a shadow of good things to come. The Old Testament law, the sacrifices, the animal sacrifices, the rituals, the constant shedding of blood was a shadow of what Jesus was going to do. And before Jesus came, it was very important. And it gave us a lot of information. There was a lot of symbolism, a lot of things we could understand. But let's just say that here you are looking at my shadow because you couldn't see me. But if I walk around the corner and now I'm in full view, and if you could see me, it would be absolutely foolish on your part to run up and try and shake the hand of my shadow or run and fall down and hug my shadow. Maybe that shadow had been very important to you at one time. Maybe, you know, for a long period of time, you'd been watching that shadow to see if I'd come around the corner. Maybe you'd spent a lot of time focused on that shadow and it had really been important to you. But once I'm standing there, why in the world would anybody worship, fall down, hug my shadow when here I am? You can hug me. You can talk to me directly. Well, it's the same thing. The Old Testament law and all of the sacrifices was a shadow of the New Testament reality. But now that Jesus has come and shed His blood, now that He has given us eternal redemption, all of these Old Testament shadows are over. Why are you still observing the Old Testament rituals and laws? Why are you falling down and embracing the shadow and trying to keep the shadow alive when you now have the real person of the Lord Jesus Christ? Boy, to me, that's powerful. And that is very descriptive. That is a word picture of what I believe the body of Christ has done today. We have something so much better than what the Old Testament saints had. We have the reality of Jesus. And now His blood was shed once for all sins. And today we have Him and we have redemption, eternal redemption. And yet most New Testament Christians haven't heard the truth, or if they've heard it, have rejected it and have gone down and are still trying to worship and serve the shadow, still trying to do things the way that it was pictured and shadowed under the old covenant. Man, we've got something so much better. Well, that's powerful. So let's go back. Hebrews chapter 10, verse 1. For the law, having a shadow of good things to come, and not the very image of those things, can never with those sacrifices which they offered year by year continually make the comers thereunto perfect. For then would they not have ceased to be offered. If the Old Testament sacrifices could have really worked, well, then they'd have quit offering them. But see, they didn't work. They didn't really cover sins. They didn't really make anybody free. All they were symbols, types and shadows, pictures of New Testament reality. And so the types and shadows, pictures, symbolism had to be done over and over and over. But in contrast, Jesus is the real deal. And if anything could ever deal with sins, I guarantee you, it was the shedding of the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. And it dealt with sins, so therefore, it did work, and according to this verse, we should not have any more conscience of sin. back to Hebrews chapter 10, verse 2. For then would they not have ceased to be offered? Well, the answer is yes. And it says, because the worshipers once purged should have had no more conscience of sin. The Old Testament types and shadows couldn't do that, but the New Testament reality of the blood of Jesus should totally wipe away your sin consciousness. But you know, again, in religion today, and I'm even talking about the religious Christianity, there is a core of the body of Christ that has the true revelation, but then there is a religious church today that claims Christianity, and yet they are promoting sin consciousness. They aren't telling you that all of your sins have been forgiven. They're telling you that every time you do something wrong, you lose your relationship with God. They are putting the burden of salvation upon your back instead of the back of a Savior, and they are making you sin conscious. You know this statement right here, that you should have no more conscience of sin. I guarantee you there's people watching me all around the world who are going to think I'm a heretic for saying this, but I'm saying what the Bible says. We should have no more sin consciousness. We should have a Savior consciousness. His sacrifice was so much greater than our sins that our sins ought to pale into oblivion compared to the sacrifice that has been made. And yet the number one place that is making sin, making people aware of sin, making them sin conscious is the religious church today that is preaching a works relationship based on how holy you are and that you've got to have all of these sins confessed and everything living right. Again, I'm not saying that there are no consequences to sin. We have an enemy out there that's going to take advantage of you because of sin. So I preach holiness and I preach living right, but not in order to have God accept me. God accepted me based on my acceptance of Jesus. And when I did that, all of my sins, past, present, and even the future sins were atoned for and wiped out of the way. And I now have eternal redemption. And I have the access to having no more sin consciousness. Now, I'm not saying that I've arrived at that place yet because I am a product of coming up in religion. And I've had this grained into me that I'm still in the process of renewing my mind. I haven't arrived, but I've left. And I'm saying that this is what is available to us through Jesus. And this is diametrically opposed to most religious instruction today. In verse 3, it says, but in those sacrifices, the Old Testament sacrifices, there is a remembrance again made of sins every year. In most Christians' lives today, there is a remembrance of sins every time you go to God. With most of you, every time you approach God in prayer, the way you do it is, oh God, we come before you so humbly. God, we're so sorry for our sins. You feel like you've got to mention everything you've done, get it confessed quickly so that God won't mention it. If you'll mention it, maybe God won't mention it. And there is a sin consciousness, a remembrance of sin. But if you were truly worshiping God in spirit and in truth, like John 4:24 says, if you were coming before God in spirit, you wouldn't even have a consciousness of sin because God has wiped away all sin. There is no sin standing between you and God if you have made Jesus your Lord. He has dealt with all of that sin. Radical statements. In verse 4, it says, for it is not possible that the blood of bulls and of goats should take away sins. The Old Testament sacrifices never really did anything. They were only symbolic. But Jesus wasn't symbolic. His was the real deal. And one drop of Jesus' blood was worth more than all of the sins, the ungodliness, all of the abominations of the entire human race from time past until time future. All of the sins of the whole world are nothing compared to one drop of Jesus' blood. It more than compensated. It more than paid the debt. Boy, that is a powerful statement. And so it goes on to say in verse 5, wherefore, when he cometh into the world, talking about when Jesus was coming into the world, he said, and this is prophecy through the Old Testament. This was prophesied in the Old Testament, but applied to Jesus. It says, sacrifice and offering thou wouldest not, but a body hast thou prepared me. In other words, the Old Testament sacrifices of animals is what he's talking about. He's not what he was looking for, but he gave this Savior, his Son that came to the earth, a physical body that was going to be the sacrifice. For instance, when John the Baptist first saw Jesus coming to his baptism, he said, "Behold, the Lamb of God that takes away the sins of the world." You know, sometimes we use religious terminology so much we don't think about things. But when John said, "Behold, the Lamb of God," you know what he was saying? This is God's sacrifice. A lamb is what they used to sacrifice for sins. He says, when he saw the body of Jesus, he said, "This is God's lamb. This is God's sacrifice." He was prophesying the substitutionary death and atonement of the Lord Jesus Christ. And that's what these Old Testament prophecies were talking about, that God wasn't looking for an animal sacrifice anymore, but he became a man so that he could offer his body as a sacrifice to end this sin problem once and for all. In verse 6, it says, "In burnt offerings and sacrifices for sin thou hast had no pleasure. Then said he, Lo, I come, in the volume of the book it is written of me, to do thy will, O God." Above, when he said, "Sacrifice and offering and burnt offerings and offering for sin thou wouldest not, neither hast pleasure therein, which are offered by the law," then said he, "Lo, I come to do thy will, O God. He taketh away the first, that he may establish the second." That's just an old English way of saying that when he said, you know, you don't have any pleasure in these sacrifices, all of these types and symbolisms, but I come to do your will. And you've prepared me a body. That's just saying that now the symbolism was gone. The reality has come. Jesus inhabited a physical body that would be shed for the entire sins of the world. That's what he's talking about. In verse 10, he says, "By the which will we are sanctified through the offering of the body of Jesus Christ once for all." Now, if you heard my programs earlier in this week, Hebrews chapter 9, verse 12 says that we have obtained eternal redemption. The word redemption means forgiveness of sins. Hebrews chapter 9, verse 15 says we have eternal inheritance. Not just inheritance until the next time we sin and then we lose it and got to be born again. There is no such thing as being born again. You just get born again one time and it's an eternal inheritance, eternal redemption. Well, here he is saying the same thing again in Hebrews chapter 10, verse 10. "By the which will we are sanctified." The word sanctify means to set apart or make holy, "through the offering of the body of Jesus Christ once for all." Man, that is such a powerful statement. Jesus offered his body once for all men and also for all time. You can see that as you continue to read here in context. In verse 11, it says, "And every priest standeth daily, ministering and offering oftentimes the same sacrifices, which can never take away sins. But this man," speaking of Jesus, "after he had offered one sacrifice for sins forever, sat down on the right hand of God." Now see, in context, he's saying that the Old Testament priests offered many sacrifices over and over and over again because they could never take away sins. But Jesus offered one sacrifice himself for sins forever, for all length of time, not just for all men, but for all time. This totally refutes the religious practice and the concepts that Jesus is in heaven and every time we sin, we have to come back and confess it and then God reapplies and gets that sin put under the blood. This is saying that one offering, Jesus covered all sin, totally did away with all sin for all time, and it's done. You do not have to come back to God and get born again every time you sin. You do not lose your right standing with God every time you sin and have to get back into right standing with God. You do not lose your fellowship. You do not lose God's blessing. You are not in a state where He won't answer your prayer because of sin, because sin has been dealt with, past, present, and even the sins you haven't committed yet have all been atoned for. In verse 12 here, It says, but this man, Jesus, after he had offered one sacrifice for sins forever, sat down on the right hand of God, from henceforth expecting till his enemies be made his footstool. For by one offering, again, the emphasis is on one compared to the Old Testament way of doing it over and over and over. Verse 14, for by one offering he hath perfected forever them that are sanctified. Verse 10 says, you were sanctified through the offering of the body of Jesus Christ once for all. Verse 14 says, if you have been sanctified, you have also been perfected forever. Man, how clear can you get? That's just pretty strong. And again, I say, most people say, but, and they just don't let the Word of God get in the way of what they believe. Most people are going to believe something because this is what they were trained to believe, because this is what the religious tradition has been. And they just don't let the Word of God make much impact on what they believe. But if you have any desire to follow the Word of God, it says in all of these verses I've been using from Hebrews 9 and 10 that it was one offering sanctified you and perfected you forever. Forever. Not until the next time you sin, not until you messed up again, but forever. Which means in the Greek, forever. Amen. And some people say, I just can't understand this. How can the Bible say I'm perfect? Because I can prove to you that I've sinned today. I've had wrong attitudes. I've still got lust in my life. I still got anger in my life or whatever. The problem is you're looking on the external. You are searching your actions and you're searching your emotional, mental, personality part of you. But there is a third part of you, the spirit man, and this spirit man has been completely changed, redeemed, forgiven of all sins, and it's in the spirit realm that you are sanctified and perfected forever. And let me share a verse with you that will make that clear. This is out of Hebrews chapter 12. Remember, man put the chapter and verse divisions in there for reference sake, but this is the same book by the same author making the exact same point. And in Hebrews chapter 12, verse 22, it says, but you are come unto Mount Zion and unto the city of the living God, the heavenly Jerusalem, and to an innumerable company of angels, to the general assembly and church of the firstborn which are written in heaven, and to God, the judge of all, and to the spirits of just men made perfect. Remember in context, Hebrews 10:14 says, those who've been sanctified have been perfected forever. This says that it's the spirit of men that was made perfect. In the spirit realm, you have been completely forgiven. You are forgiven of all sins, past, present, and future. And then on our program tomorrow, I'll go into more detail on this, but Ephesians chapter 1, verse 13 says, once you were perfected and forgiven like this, you were sealed, vacuum-packed with the Holy Spirit. So that even as a Christian, when you sin, when you fail to do something or when you violate a commandment, that sin can penetrate into your physical body and can affect you. It could affect your soulish realm, your emotions and your mental state, but it can't penetrate this seal around your spirit. You were created in righteousness and true holiness, Ephesians 4:24, and then you're sealed, vacuum-packed. And since God is a spirit, John 4:24, God sees you in the spirit, and He sees you righteous and holy and forgiven, even though you still aren't doing everything perfectly. Boy, that is good news. You know, I've got much, much, much more to share on this, and I encourage you to listen in tomorrow to our gospel truth as I continue to talk about this. Also, I'd like to once again really encourage you to get these materials. This album that I have out on redemption is powerful. You need to get this. You need to listen to it. You need to share it with someone else. So please call or write and request these materials. And listen as our announcer gives you that information. And then call or write today.
Andrew's complete teaching titled Redemption was recorded live at a recent Gospel Truth seminar. It's available on either CD or DVD. Each is available for a gift of any amount. Request item T1056C for the CD or T3201D for the DVD. Or you can get the DVD As Seen on TV for a gift of any amount. Request item T1056D when you contact us. This series is also available for audio download absolutely free on our website. Go to awmi.net and click on Audio Teachings on the left-hand side of the page. The second teaching in the Redemption series, titled Eternal, Not Momentary Redemption, is available on CD for a gift of any amount. We encourage everyone to give, but if you're simply unable to afford it, Andrew and his partners will send this second CD free of charge when you write or call. Request item TK137C. We'd also like to remind you that Andrew's latest book, titled Living in the Balance of Grace and Faith, is available in hardback for a gift of any amount. Request book T228. You can use your credit card to order resources by telephone. Our helpline number is 719-635-1111. If the lines are busy, you can visit our website, where you can order ministry materials 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, at awmi.net. To write us, use the address on your screen. Canadian viewers can now make tax-deductible donations through Andrew Womack Ministries Canada. That address is also on your screen. The generous gifts of our friends and partners help Andrew bring the almost too good to be true news of the gospel into countless homes every day. We appreciate your generosity and hope to hear from you today.
You know, many of you are being blessed and you're getting this truth about how important the Word is, and you don't even know how to get started. You don't know where to read. You don't know what to do. You know, that's the reason we put out our materials. They can help you. But really, the best thing I have to help you get into the Word of God is our Charis Bible College. And we not only have this campus here in Colorado Springs, but we have about 15 different Bible colleges scattered around the world. We also have an online Bible school that we just started this month. And you can now go online and in a class setting where you are interacting with other students, you can go through our online Charis Bible College. There's a lot of ways for you to take advantage of it, but I encourage you to call the number that you see on your screen and pursue participating in our Charis Bible College.
We'd like to point out Andrew's upcoming speaking schedule. Mark your calendars to come meet Andrew at one of these events and let the Word of God transform your life. He'll be in Atlanta, Georgia for a Gospel Truth seminar April 15th through the 17th and at the Solid Rock of Atlanta April 18th. He'll also be in Chicago, Illinois for a Gospel Truth seminar May 13th through the 15th and in the UK for the Grace and Faith Family Camp May 28th through the 31st. For those of you looking forward to our annual Summer Family Bible Conference, remember to mark your calendars and join us in Colorado Springs, June 28th through July 2nd. For more details on Andrew's next meeting in your area, call our helpline or visit our website at awmi.net. Be sure to tune in tomorrow for more Gospel Truth.
Right now, one-third of your redemption is complete. One-third of it is over. Your spirit is right this moment as Jesus is. Again, 1 John 4:17, that as Jesus is, so are we in this world.